Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to read with you God's Word today. We're in Ruth, also in the Psalms. We're heading through the Psalms one more time. We're in Psalm 2 today, and then we're in Hebrews chapter 3. Do you remember what the overall theme we're kind of taking from Hebrews is? Jesus is better. So in that passage today, we'll talk about Jesus being better than Moses. Okay, so let's begin with Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Remember, Ruth is going with her mother-in-law Naomi back to Bethlehem. And we'll learn about the third main character today a little bit, a man by the name of, you guessed it, Boaz. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entering a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseers of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is a Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." Before we move on, I want to just note two things. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we greeted everyone as Boaz greeted his workers? "The Lord be with you." And how do they respond? "The Lord bless you." So that's my greeting for you today. Let's try it. "The Lord be with you." And will you respond, "The Lord bless you"? Okay, that was kind of fun. And then I want to talk about what Boaz says at the end here. may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz knows that the God of Israel is the one true God, and that this God provides refuge. My dad and I were actually talking about this word refuge last week, and I looked it up because God is mentioned all over the place in Scripture that He is a refuge. In fact, in Psalm 2 today, the very last verse calls God the refuge. So I want to give you some images here according to the definition. A refuge is being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. So something that provides you shelter. Some similar words are safety and protection, and security, asylum, preservation. So the Lord is a safe haven and a place where we can hide out, a hiding place. I think that's one of the most beautiful definitions, that the Lord is a hiding place for us. So as we turn to Psalm 2, let us think of the Lord, our hiding place. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger, He rebukes them, terrifying them with His fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy mountain. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, You are my son. Today I have become your father. Only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. You will break them with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. Now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's royal son, or He will become angry, and you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities. For His anger flares up in an instant. But what joy for all who take refuge in Him. The book I was telling you about yesterday, the devotional reading of the Psalms, reminded me that the end of Psalm 2 and the beginning of Psalm 1 kind of pair together. They have the same thought in mind. The end of Psalm 2 says this, But what joy for all who take refuge in Him. And Psalm 1 begins with this verse, Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around sinners, or join with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord. Okay, let's turn on over now to the book of Hebrews. Today we're in Hebrews chapter 3. Let me find it here. And we're going to be reading about Jesus being greater than Moses. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are His house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. As I mentioned, Jesus is a better figure than Moses. Remember, he was more superior than the angels. And here we hear of the prophet that was held in highest esteem, that Jesus is even better than him. It's not discounting Moses and his ministry. It's just saying that Jesus is the one who came to fulfill all that the Old Testament is talking about. And then at the end of the passage, I don't want you to miss the encouragement that the author of Hebrews gives us when he's talking about brothers and sisters. It says, see that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart, but encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin. The encouragement and fellowship of the body of Christ is so necessary in overcoming sin in our lives. Amanda reminded me that isolation leads us to hardened hearts toward God and towards others. But as we talked about in a growth group just this last week, community and accountability lead to growth. And so I want to encourage you today, if you don't already have an accountability relationship, that you find someone to whom you can confess your sin and ask for prayer in personal growth. And as you think about questions that you might use when you're talking with someone about this growth, you might ask them to ask you certain questions every week. One might be, what's going well or what's hard? Another good question could be, what do you need my help with? One could use the term refuge. Are you finding your refuge in Christ? This is not meant to be something that we just check off the list, but it's important for us to have relationships where we can confess to one another, where we can confide in one another, and where we can remind one another that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is wonderful and that we must fix our thoughts upon Him. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, and I thank you, Lord, that we can confide in you, Jesus, personally, but your word also reminds us that we can confide and confess to one another. I pray for a safe place for those who are listening to speak about the ways that they could grow in their faith with someone and help them to find accountability so that they might experience just freedom from sin that lurks in their lives. I pray that for myself as well. And Lord, as we end, I want to pray this prayer from the Book of Common Prayer that deals with our sin. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Now, brother and sister, I pray that you'll be able to go forward today and rest in God's love, knowing that through the blood of Christ that was shed for the remission of your sins, you are free. Have a great day.